Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com. Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It was court-martial time yesterday for Bradley Manning, the Army private charged with handing over 700,000 classified documents to WikiLeaks. Manning has been called a dangerous traitor and a heroic whistleblower. A new documentary, We Steal Secrets, takes another look at Private Manning, at WikiLeaks, and at WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange. This hour on Point, WikiLeaks and the case of Bradley Manning. You can join us on air or online where this conversation never ends. How have you come to see Bradley Manning, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, the exposure of all those secrets? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at onpointradio. We'll talk to the director, Alex Gibney, of the new documentary We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks, in a moment. But joining me first from Washington today is Julian Barnes, Pentagon reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Julian, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Tom.
You were watching as the trial opened yesterday. What was the demeanor of Bradley Manning, Julian?
Well, he seemed pretty attentive. He seemed very engaged in it. Now, of course, it's a little bit hard to tell. The seats at the courtroom don't give you the best view, and then most of the press was in this viewing room watching it on a video screen. But from what we could tell, he seemed engaged. His voice was clear and strong when he was asked questions by the judge at the beginning of the hearing, and he stuck by his decisions to admit to some mishandling of classified information, and as well as eschewing a jury trial for a ruling by the judge.
He was in solitary confinement for a long time. The circumstances of his confinement there, lights on all the time, often held without clothes, became a subject of great controversy. Does he look worse for the wear? Can you any signs of all that?
Well, he has since the criticism of his confinement in Quantico, he was moved to Fort Leavenworth, now obviously at Fort Meade, and the harsh treatment that he had received early on appears to have been lessened, and he is being treated a little bit more normally. The check-in every 5 minutes, the taking away of his clothes, the prohibiting him a pillow or sheets, all that is over. And so it's been a little bit of time, so he doesn't seem worse for wear now. He's a very thin man. He's not but that just seems to be his build.
In February, he pleaded guilty to 9 versions, lesser versions of the charges up, and there are, 10 more still on the table. Why did he plead guilty to some, and what's on the table? What's being decided now in this court-martial, Julian?
Well, the evidence is overwhelming that he provided the cables, the video, the war logs to WikiLeaks. But what is being debated in this trial now is, did he aid the enemy? What was his intent? Prosecutors yesterday made the case that this was a harvesting, that he was looking at a list of what WikiLeaks wanted and then just harvesting as much information as he could without any care. The defense, on the other hand, presented this image of a man transformed by what he had seen in the war, civilian casualties, the violence, and wanting to do some good in the world and taking care with what he got, not taking the most classified information, not taking information about future ops, but historical data, and bringing that to the public's attention. So those are the two versions we saw yesterday, and that's what this case is going to be fought over.
Aiding the enemy or hero of transparency and openness. How will the case be decided, Julian? We're not as familiar with court-martial procedure. Is it just by a judge? Is there a kind of jury? How do they come to a decision?
Bradley Manning has opted not to have a jury. He could have had a jury of enlisted men, or officers or officers, but he's chosen that the judge, Colonel Denise Lind, will hear the case and will make the ultimate decision. Now, we don't know exactly why he chose that. His lawyer hasn't explained it, but analysts have said that they believe they may be able to get a fairer hearing on their more nuanced case about what Manning's state of mind was and what he was trying to do from a judge than they could from a group of enlisted soldiers.
He was already facing maybe 20 years, I think, for the charges to which he has pled guilty. What could he face in this case with these more severe charges?
Well, he could face life in prison if he is convicted of aiding the enemy. That's the most serious charge he has. Now, the prosecution does not have to prove that he has that there was damage to national security, or they do not have to show these people died or this foreign policy was damaged by his leaks. They just have to prove that it was classified, he knew that it was dangerous, and that he proved it. Now, the damage to national security will come out in that punishment phase, and how much he will be, how much time he will do. But, of course, if he's convicted of aiding the enemy, he'll be looking at a very long, if not life sentence.
There's been talk of a death sentence possibility here. Is that on the table as well or not?
No, it's no longer on the table. The prosecutors have not charged him with a capital offense of aiding the enemy. So the worst he could get is life in prison. Not that that would be terribly pleasant for him, but he does not face the death penalty.
What are reporters expecting in terms of the duration of this court-martial, this trial, and when we might see a verdict?
Well, we have 141 witnesses from the prosecution. We have 41 witnesses from the defense, although some of those are from for the sentencing phase. Some of those are from the trial on the merits. This is likely to go 3 months or longer. It was painfully slow after the opening statements yesterday, as prosecutors were very deliberately going through a witness and each witness who pulled something from Bradley Manning's bunk, investigator who took a computer from the secure workspace he worked in. And so it's going to be very deliberate, very plodding throughout this trial, punctuated with some interesting testimony here and there.
Some 20,000 Manning supporters have raised more than $1 million for his defense online. Were they in evidence physically at Fort Meade yesterday, protesters in his corner?
They were. There was a large contingent in a kind of pouring rain outside the gates of Fort Meade, greeting the media as they came in with banners and placards. Far bigger protests than have been at the pre-trial hearing motions. There was also most of the seats for the public in the courtroom and in the overflow area have been taken up with supporters of Bradley Manning. He has a lot of them, and they believe fiercely that he is a whistleblower who is being unjustly tried.
Julian Barnes is Pentagon reporter for the Wall Street Journal. I was following the trial at Fort Meade yesterday. Julian, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks, Tom.
Joining me now from New York is Alex Gibney, writer and director of We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. Gibney's an Oscar, Emmy, and Grammy award-winning filmmaker. He directed the Oscar-nominated Enron, The Smartest Guys in the Room. He won the 2008 Academy Award for Best Documentary for Taxi to the Dark Side, which looked at the CIA and torture. His new documentary, We Steal Secrets, focuses a lot on WikiLeaks, on Julian Assange, and in particular on Bradley Manning. He joins us now from New York. Alex Gibney, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Good to be here.
You have paid a lot of attention to this young man and his formation and his personality. What are you thinking as he goes on trial? Who is it sitting in that seat at Fort Meade, Alex?
Well, I think he's a very interesting young man who came out of obscurity from Crescent, Oklahoma, and found himself in the middle of a trial that has global implications. So it's a very interesting moment for Mr. Manning.
You present so many facets of his personality here. He's dealing with isolation. He was a small kid. He was a bullied kid for a time, felt alienated even before he left his hometown, felt once he got into Iraq, isolated and under a lot of psychological stress, dealing with issues of his own sexuality quite openly, ultimately. Do you see a heroic whistleblower here? Do you see somebody who was just alienated and felt up against the wall in life?
Well, I think it's too simple to try to ascribe to Manning the idea that he leaked these documents because he was in emotional distress. I think, you know, we present Manning through his own words, through his chats.
Yeah.
And he talks a lot about his emotional distress, but he also talks a lot about his political commitment. And I think that David Coombs's presentation of Manning in the courtroom is correct, that he did want to make the world a better place.
The defense
David
attorney,
Coombs
David
also
Coombs.
Used the word naive, and I think he was also naive in terms of how these materials might be put. But I think he did want to make the world a better place.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Bradley Manning case going to trial, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, and the new documentary that looks at all the background. It is We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. Its writer and director, Alex Gibney, joins us today from New York. Here's a little bit from the trailer for his new film, We Steal Secrets. You'll hear first from Secretary of Defense, former Robert Gates, talking about the severity of the Manning leaks, and then several news reports about WikiLeaks and the arrest of Bradley Manning.
The consequences of the release of these documents are potentially severe and dangerous.
The Army has detained a U.S. soldier in connection with the leak of this classified video.
Two of the men killed worked for the Reuters news agency.
Journalists' cameras were mistaken for weapons.
The prime suspect is 22-year-old Bradley Manning.
From a trailer for We Steal Secrets. That phrase itself does not come from WikiLeaks. It comes from the former head of the CIA, Alex Gibney. Describe the circumstances of your title.
Well, I was interviewing Michael Hayden, the former head of the CIA and the former head of the NSA, the National Security Agency. Mm-hmm. And he leaned forward at one point in the interview and said, "Alex, let me tell you something straight. We steal secrets," meaning we, the United States government. "We steal secrets from other countries, and you cannot do that above board and be very successful." So he's saying, we steal secrets, that's got to stay secret. So keep that in mind. And the reason I made that the title of the film was to try to set this whole idea of leaks and secrets within a broader context. It's not so simple. When you have your own government acknowledging that we steal secrets from other countries, then this idea of leaking and stealing secrets becomes a little bit more textured, shall we say.
Are you drawing an equivalency between the fact that U.S. intelligence agencies steal secrets and the former head CISO right there and WikiLeaks? Is that your point in putting this at the top of the film as the title?
No, my point is to set it in a broader context. In other words, this whole idea of what should and should not be secret and what we do with those secrets, you know, needs to be understood within that larger context. It's not like we sit on our hands and regularly respect the right of other nations to keep their own secrets. We don't. We steal those secrets for our own benefit. Likewise, in the context of a democracy, you know, there are times when leaking secrets are important as a kind of pressure valve so that we can hold the government to account. So I think it's within that context that that Michael Hayden's phrase becomes important.
Where are your sympathies in this case, having done a really in-depth look at Manning along with Assange and WikiLeaks? Are you with the protesters out in the rain at Fort Meade? Are you with the prosecutor saying this is a guy who's aiding the enemy?
I think the aiding the enemy charge is ridiculous, frankly. I mean, let's compare this, for example, to the Abu Ghraib case. you know, one, I suppose, could make the claim that revealing the photographs of the depravity at Abu Ghraib was aiding the enemy because it gave them a propaganda advantage. But in fact, it was also doing something very valuable in a democracy, which is showing that crimes were being committed by our government, crimes that we would want to stop. I think most Americans agree. So it's within that context, I think, that aiding the enemy, this charge is really a terrible precedent because it attempts to kind of criminalize any sort of criticism of the U.S. government if made public. And you'd have to ask, well, if Bradley Manning was aiding the enemy, perhaps the New York Times was also aiding the enemy by publishing some of these cables.
How do governments work in the digital era if any private first class can put 700,000 of them classified out into public, out into the world? How does, I mean, you may be for it, but just functionally, how would that unfold?
Well, it can't work that way. And frankly, though this may seem like a contradiction, one of the things that the film looks at is how sloppy our own secret-keeping process is. And one can, in some senses, applaud the results of the leak and at the same time not want to hold Bradley Manning to be the only one to account for having permitted those leaks. I think what one has to look at here is a kind of overall balance. Because, you know, if you have a government like our government that is radically overclassifying secrets, then occasionally you're going to have a radical counterforce, which is a massive leak of those secrets. Right now, we are so, you know, we have 4 million people who have access to classified materials. And the amount of classified documents is just astounding. When I was in Guantanamo, for example, I remember we were taking some establishing shots, and some woman from Lockheed Martin, who was our minder, came over to me and said, "Sorry, you can't shoot that mountain. That mountain is classified." Well, when we start classifying Mother Earth, then you know we've got a problem.
Blood on his hands was the phrase that was rolled out, and you have many clips of administration representatives saying it when Bradley Manning's exposure of all this data became public and the White House and more were responding to it. Now, we've had several years since this big WikiLeaks dump provided by Bradley Manning. Does he have blood on his hands?
Bradley Manning?
Yes.
No, I don't think he does. I mean, I don't think anybody has presented credible evidence that anybody has died as a result of these leaks. Now, I would say that the way WikiLeaks initially managed these documents was somewhat irresponsible because they did not perform necessary redactions that they should have done, which the journalistic organizations did do. WikiLeaks later corrected that mistake with the Iraq war logs, but for the first documents, the Afghan war logs, there were a number of redactions, and that allowed the U.S. government to then isolate WikiLeaks outside of the other journalistic organizations with whom they did not want to pick a fight.
It's not clear how Manning's case would have unfolded if it had not been for WikiLeaks. Here's a little bit more from your trailer from Alex Gibney's We Steal Secrets, where you will hear Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Attorney General Eric Holder, and WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange.
Disclosures like these tear at the fabric of responsible government.
We're looking at all of the things that we can do to stem the flow of this information.
This was the biggest leak in the history of this particular planet.
So my name is Julian Assange. I'm the editor of WikiLeaks.
We help you get the truth out. If you get this material, give it to us, no questions asked, and you'll help change history.
The internet lets governments get more information than ever, but it lets citizens do the same.
From We Steal Secrets, writer and director Alex Gibney is with us. I saw it yesterday. It's a powerful piece of film. The way I read it, you come out fairly sympathetic to Bradley Manning, rather sympathetic, supportive of WikiLeaks' broad agenda, as early understood, and fairly skeptical of Julian Assange. Do I read you right, and why?
You do read me right. I think in the case of Julian Assange, I think the initial idea of the website WikiLeaks, which had a kind of transnational publishing platform on the internet and also had this anonymous leaking mechanism, which has since been picked up by The New Yorker and other publications, these were very good ideas, and they attempted to hold governments and corporations to account by leaking materials that showed misbehavior. The problem came when Julian Assange decided to conflate his own personal problems, i.e. allegation of sexual misconduct in Sweden, with the transparency agenda. And he slowly became as an individual, somebody who kind of transgressed the very ideals that he purported to espouse. So that was the big problem for me. And I think that over time, one needs to separate Julian Assange from these larger ideas, which are terribly important. In a way, Julian Assange bungled his moment in history.
You spoke with at least one of the women involved in those allegations of sexual offenses in Sweden. A lot of people, when those first came out, the timing seemed so unbelievable. It looked like, oh, this is like an out-of-the-movies setup to bring down a guy who's causing people trouble. How did you come to look at those charges that he had sexually, I guess rape was the ultimate charge. It was kind of subtle, as you describe it, but in the end, rape isn't subtle. So how did you come to look at those charges?
Well, first of all, we should say they're not charges. They're allegations. He can't properly be charged unless he goes to Sweden. That's the way the Swedish system works. But
they're waiting for them if he goes, right? I mean,
if he goes, they will charge him. Mm-hmm. He has to be arrested first, and then they will charge him. I looked at it very much like you did. The timing was so incredible. Right after the release of the Afghan war log, suddenly Julian Assange, you know, there's a notice that he's involved in sex allegations in Sweden. I thought, this is too fantastic. This is out of, this is the girl with the dragon tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
In looking at the case, I could find absolutely no evidence that there was any kind of honey trap by the CIA, or that there was any kind of secret deal between the Swedish government and the U.S. government to trap Julian Assange in Sweden. What did happen, though, is that WikiLeaks, very much by intent and very much upon instruction by Julian Assange, slowly took the position, despite all advisors begging Julian not to take this position, that these personal allegations were actually an attack upon the organization itself and should be embraced and thought of as that kind of institutional attack. So he took these personal issues and made them part of WikiLeaks instead of distancing himself from those things and keeping WikiLeaks separate from it. And that, I think, began the path of corruption of Julian Assange.
Alex Gibney is writer and director of the new documentary We Steal Secrets, The Story of WikiLeaks. We're talking about it as the Bradley Manning trial gets going at Fort Meade in Maryland. William Leonard, a former classification czar for the federal government in charge of classifying all information there, top secret and otherwise, will join us in just a moment. Let me get a couple of calls here first, if I may. Elizabeth in Summertown, Tennessee. Elizabeth, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think about all this?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think that Julian Assange is another issue, but I think that what Bradley Manning did was a truly patriotic act. He swore as a soldier to protect the United States from enemies within and without, and I think that he's a brilliant man. That's why they kept him doing the thing that he's doing, because he has great perception, even though he tended to be a little difficult with authority.
Elizabeth, who's to decide what is the defense of the United States when the Secretary of State says no, and the Pentagon says no, it wasn't, and the Attorney General says no, it wasn't? How do you decide who's defending and who's offending?
Well, this is the United States, which is supposed to be government of, by, and for the people, and we're the people, and we make those decisions. Sometimes the people in power have an interest in keeping things secret, which would be embarrassing to them, which the people need to know. And I think the people have to have the good sense to make that judgment. And then it comes down to a forum where we say, well, was that right or wrong? Well, I think when you look at what was leaked, what was put out, it was not injurious. It was embarrassing. And the video of the murder of the journalists and and the innocent civilians down there.
This is in Baghdad, the Reuters journalists, the dozen just blown apart. Yeah,
right. And the children, and then the crassness of the pilots who said, you know, well, you shouldn't bring your kids to a war. It was just the whole thing was. It really looked at what wars do to the human soul.
What about the law, Elizabeth? He's already pled guilty to, 10 charges or so. What about the law here?
Oh, I think the law is important, and I think that the law of the land is that if there are war crimes being perpetrated, then you put them out. That's the law. And in the Nuremberg trials, I know people said, oh, well, we would never let anybody, you know, we wouldn't be like Germany. We would, if we saw crimes going down, we'd out them no matter what. Well, that's, I think, what we're looking at now, is the people in power would be embarrassed by showing some of these things.
Elizabeth, I'm glad for your call. Let me go next door to Kentucky and get one more, if I may. George, you're on the air, Lexington, Kentucky. Thanks for calling, George.
Hi, Tom. Hi. How are you?
I'm well. What do you think about all this, George?
Well, I was in the military. I'm an ex-vet. I'm a vet. I'm 57 years old.
Yes.
I was in the Navy. I had a top secret clearance. After I got out, I worked for the Defense Department. And when you receive that type of clearance and are privy to that type of information, you swore an oath. I don't care if it's embarrassing to you, the country, whatever. You swore an oath to keep those secrets. That's just the bottom line. He swore an oath.
Simple as that. What do you say to Elizabeth's argument that if Bradley Manning thought he saw something big and bad going on, he had a citizen's right or duty to speak up? What do you say to that as a vet with that clearance, George?
He found another avenue to expose the problem, if there was a problem. But as far as the secrets go, he shouldn't have went there. He shouldn't have went there.
George, you've got it, and I appreciate your call very much. I want to bring in J. William Leonard. Joining us from Washington, he was director of the Information Security Oversight Office, that is classification czar for the U.S. government from 2002 to 2008. He's now chief operating officer at the National Endowment for Democracy, professor of political science at St. Mary's College in Maryland. Bill Leonard, thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, Tom. My pleasure to be here.
You are extensively interviewed in Alex Gibney's documentary, We Steal Secrets. You were in charge of deciding what was top secret and everything else. What do you think of the Bradley Manning case and what his fate should be?
Well, I think one of the things that the Bradley Manning case highlights is that, in some regards, our nation's system for keeping secrets can be somewhat dysfunctional.
It clearly didn't work here. He put many, many, many of them out. But does that make him, I mean, should he go to jail for life?
Well, he himself has acknowledged that he has improperly released and mishandled classified information, is willing to accept prison up to 20 years. And so from that point of view, even he believes that's appropriate. Anything over and above that, I would tend to agree with many others, that tends to be overreach.
What do you think of we have two callers here, our soldier who says he swore an oath, he's got to keep it secret. We have another American calling in saying he's got a larger duty to make transparent what the government's up to. What do you think, Bill?
Well, there's responsibility all around, and the government itself, when it withholds information from the public, it has its own responsibilities that it must adhere to ensure that it's properly following the standards for what should be classified and what isn't, and that they're properly preserving the integrity of the system. And I think there's ample examples here where the government themselves and responsible officials in the government themselves actually abuse the classification system. And that's one of the problems with the widespread abuse and overclassification of information. It creates an environment where the millions of people with security clearances can readily see that information is marked secret, doesn't require it, and they end up applying their own judgment, which oftentimes is wrong.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the Bradley Manning case, going to trial, WikiLeaks, Julian Assange, and the new documentary that looks at all the background. It is We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. Academy Award-winning documentarian Alex Gibney is with us, writer and director of the new film, joins us from New York. J. William Leonard is with us. He was director of the Information Security Oversight Office in the U.S. government from 2002 to 2008. He's now at the National Endowment for Democracy. Here's another clip from We Steal Secrets. You'll first hear former Secretary of State Department Press Secretary P.J. Crowley, who ultimately resigned over the treatment of Bradley Manning in confinement, describing first the scale of the information leaks by WikiLeaks. Then you'll hear Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA, talking about American intelligence infrastructure.
This leak is industrial scale. It touches every relationship the United States has with other countries around the world. Even as the United States and others try to manage the impact of this, it will be a wound that just keeps, you know, opening up on a recurring basis.
The behavior of the United States was also exposed, as the cables revealed criminal cover-ups and a systematic policy of using diplomats to spy on foreign governments.
Look, everyone has secrets. Some of the activities that nation states conduct in order to keep their people safe and free need to be secret in order to be successful. If they are broadly known, you cannot accomplish your work. Now, look, I may be very candid. All right? We steal secrets. We steal other nations' secrets. One cannot do that above board and be very successful for a very long period of time.
The last voice there, Michael Hayden, former director of the CIA and the NSA, National Security Agency, all that from We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. Bill Leonard, what does it say to you? Okay, the United States steals secrets. Its intelligence agencies steal secrets. And we've seen these huge data centers where they're trolling through what we're told in the film, 60,000 phone calls of Americans and others per minute, I guess. But does that justify, or how does that stand beside the activities of one lone soldier east of Baghdad, the fact that the government does this at the government level?
Well, I think what it I think more than anything else, what it highlights is the fact that we handle and try to protect information the same way we've been doing it for 70 years, since the age of the Manhattan Project, which is an industrial age product. And we have yet to come to terms in terms of how we should be protecting information in the new age, the new information age that we're in. We produce more information than we've ever produced in the history of mankind, but likewise, we produce more secrets than we've ever produced in the history of mankind. And yet, we have yet to seriously look at and understand how should we be perfecting this critical national security tool in the new age that we're in, building new and higher fences, administering more polygraphs, applying more physical locks, things along those lines. That's not the answer. We need to fundamentally rethink how it is that we protect information in today's age.
We've got Tyra writing to us on Facebook, Manning broke the law, plain and simple. Give him the full measure of consequence. We've got Rosemary writing on Twitter, aiding the enemy, give me a break. Manning aided the U.S. public. No one has evidence of any harm to troops. On the contrary, I mean, it's clear, Alex, that you report that after 9/11, the U.S. government tried to go from secrecy to more sharing within the classified world. That's part of the reason that Bradley Manning had access to all this. Does it look to you, Alex, as though what he saw from the inside presented a very different picture from what Americans understood from just the mainstream press on the outside about what was going on in the world?
Yes, I think he looked inside and was very disturbed by what he saw. But, you know, what's interesting about what some of the callers are saying is that it's as though there are two opposing ideas and you have to accept one or the other. I think actually in the story of the Bradley Manning case, we have to embrace the contradictions here. Mm-hmm. Private Manning did break the law, and there are consequences for that. And he's embraced those consequences. He's willing to take those consequences.
To a point. He embraced 10 charges, not 20.
That's correct. And because it's that overreach, attempting to make Bradley Manning into a spy. That's where the government is crossing a line and trying to almost criminalize journalism. Because after all, the job of publishers and or journalists is to get secrets that hopefully have some public value. And by trying to charge Private Manning with being a spy, in effect, they're trying to criminalize the embarrassment of the government. It's not such a bad thing to embarrass the government from time to time because, you know, as you suggested in your question, I think Bradley Manning looked at the way things were being presented by the U.S. government and the way things really were and thought there was a pretty radical disjunction.
So you're saying they're going after the little guy but not after The Guardian, which published a lot of this, not after The New York Times, which published a lot of this, or Der Spiegel.
That's right. That's right. It's easier to scapegoat Private Manning and say he's the problem rather than the problem in, as Bill Leonard says, the problem in the military itself and indeed the problem with the publications. After all, you know, what the New York Times did was to publish a lot of these documents and they thought they needed to do so because it was in the public interest.
David's calling from Mansfield Center, Connecticut. David, thanks for calling. You're on the air. What do you think?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wish that the discussion would focus more on what was really revealed by Bradley Manning. He revealed the murder of civilians, including the Reuters newsmen.
Yep.
He revealed the undercount of civilian casualties in Iraq
and Afghanistan.
He revealed the torture of the done by the Iraqi government, which we ignored officially. These are things that need to be corrected, and I believe that the government will do anything it can to criminalize any revelation of government wrongdoing. The widespread classification of things that don't need to be classified, such as those things I just mentioned, and it's for the government to use the Espionage Act, which is really designed for traitors against people who are trying to enlighten the American people about the horrors of war. Is absurd.
So, you sound supportive of Bradley Manning, very supportive. You know, are you acting on that support, David?
Yes. I took a bus from Connecticut here down to Fort Meade last Saturday, and we spent the day, it was before the trial, but just urging our support. We're hoping that Bradley Manning understands that there are a lot of people here who support his efforts to reveal the bad things that the government does.
David, I appreciate your call. Bill Leonard, how about it? You were in charge of classification. Did you have the sense that Americans simply didn't understand what was going on in the world in the years of the documents that Bradley Manning revealed?
As a nation, we've been at war now for over 10 years. And one of my, as the father of a soldier who went into combat myself, I was always concerned that the American people did not have a full understanding of the true nature of the brutality of violence that was being launched in our name, to the point where for so many years there was even a prohibition on the dissemination of flag-draped coffins at Dover Air Force Base. And so in many regards, the power of images to help the American people understand things that they know but do not necessarily understand, I think from that point of view, it plays a very critical role.
But you were classifying the very things that Bradley Manning ultimately was revealing. Did you think you were doing right when you were in that role, Bill?
The standards that I was in charge of overseeing did not necessarily permit that. It's the standards allow a certain degree of judgment on the part of agency officials, but even more so, there is the problem is that agencies, the classification system is abused from the lowest of levels for the most mundane and bureaucratic reasons, all the way up to the highest levels in the government at the presidential level, where information is withheld from the public, not because it can cause damage to the nation, not because it can aid the enemy, but for other reasons, purely bureaucratic reasons, for political reasons, but oftentimes more than anything else, it's withheld because people can do it, and it's a whole lot easier to withhold it than to have to talk about it.
And it's not comfortable to talk about the civilians dying and the count of those deaths. Pat in Warrenton, Georgia. Pat, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Yeah, I was in the military like some of the other callers. I was in communication security. And after I got out of the military, I went to school to teach. I taught elementary school. And the young man that is now going through all of his problems, he did the right thing. Basically, he did the right thing. He told the truth, but he was hired to do a job. And that job has specifications that he needs to follow. The other thing is that when teaching, you know, one of the things I found out was the fact that loyalty, responsibility, these things are not taught in school or homes anymore. I won't say all, But in the majority of schools and homes, it's not even a priority. And until the people learn to have the soldiers, I'll say, have they learn responsibility and loyalty to their self, to their family, to their country, that will make all of these other things fall into place.
Pat, what do you say to our callers who say that Bradley Manning was acting out of loyalty to a higher ideal? What do you say to that, Pat?
A higher ideal, you know, that's fine, you know, and, you know, do we really know? Because this is a young man. This is a very young man. How much has he been exposed to? What is his true level of knowledge? He's so young that I'm thinking he's only been exposed to a very small portion of what's truly out there. And like the one man said a couple seconds ago, you know, the knowledge that moves in the military, you know, most people cannot handle that depth of knowledge, you know, and still maintain their day-to-day business.
Yep, Pat, I appreciate your call. If I may, Alex, let me bring that to you, because you make very clear in the film, We Steal Secrets, the vast universe of information that Bradley Manning, you know, one private on a little base east of Baghdad, out in the boonies, had access to. It looked like the whole cosmos, practically. Even for someone who's been around a lot, that would be a lot to handle. Here he was, 20-some years old, looking at all of this. Life was not easy for him in the first place. I mean, what an overwhelming view of inside information this young man had, Alex.
I agree. It's kind of staggering if you think about it, and that's a little bit about what Bill is talking about. I mean, I think we have created this vast sea isn't even a big enough word, a vast universe of information that has increasingly become more and more secret. And suddenly, you know, over 4 million people have access to that information. And what to make of it all? It's hard to know. And I think, in a way, the simple solution would be to make less of it secret, frankly.
And let us understand more of what's going on as it goes on. Interesting. Bill Leonard, who was in charge of that, is agreeing with you here. Bruce in Clarksville, Tennessee. Bruce, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Okay, Tom. I understand earlier you weren't trying to label this Manning or as whatever he was or whatever, and I understand that you had to do that to make the conversation.
Well, some say he's a traitor, some say he's a hero, and we're sort of working that ground, Bruce, to think about it.
Right, and you're not taking either side. That's good, Tom. What I'm concerned about is not whether it's right or wrong, the law to our country or whatever. I'm thinking about the suspension of freedom of speech, and if this guy had done this in North Korea, he wouldn't be alive today. He would have never, you know. He would have never made it off of first base.
That sounds like a fair guess, but so what?
And freedom of speech, when it comes to whistleblowing, people in private industry can do that, and most of the time it don't work. But what's the difference between government and private industry? Why shouldn't there be whistleblowers?
I mean, the whistleblower category is a risky one to step into, but we count on it to understand what's going on. You go back in time, we had the Pentagon Papers and Daniel Ellsberg, who has come out, Alex Gibney, in support of Bradley Manning. But what about the whistleblower role in our society today? I mean, this has become hot again with the government looking in on journalists in Washington. What about that role? Is it still held in the same kind of special high regard that we'd like to think it's been held in this country, Alex, or not?
I don't think so. No, at least not by our government. And I think, in a way, not by our citizenry either. I think we don't give enough credit to whistleblowers. I think, you know, part of the problem here, you know, one must acknowledge that the Obama administration has prosecuted more whistleblowers under the Espionage Act than all previous administrations combined. So, in fact, it's sort of open season on whistleblowers, even though the Obama administration has said officially that they're a pro-whistleblower administration. So I think When it comes to the government acts in its own self-interest, which is to prevent any embarrassing details about itself.
Bill Leonard, what's your guess? Do you think Bradley Manning will walk the streets free again?
I truly believe that in the end analysis, I think he'll end up with a 20-year prison sentence. And yes, he'll be a middle-aged man walking free on the streets again.
And what will the message in that be to those who work within the large arena of intelligence that you once classified? A 20-year sentence, will that be, don't go there, or...
I don't think anyone can look at Bradley Manning and say that he has not endured punishment. As a matter of fact, the judge in this case herself has acknowledged that he has endured illegal pre-trial punishment. And the UN rapporteur has said he has endured cruel and inhuman and demeaning punishment. So I believe there has been a more than adequate deterrent already expressed to others.
Well, he's in the dock now. 141 prosecution witnesses to come, 41 defense witnesses, a very big court-martial trial for Bradley Manning and the whole world watching. J. William Leonard was classification czar for the U.S. government from 2002 to 2008, director of the Information Security Oversight Office. Bill, thank you very much for being with us today.
My pleasure, Tom.
And Alex Gidney is writer and director of the new documentary We Steal Secrets, the story of WikiLeaks. Alex, thank you for your work on the film, and thank you for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Tom.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation at our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thank you.